It is a fact. Most home burglaries start with a ring of your doorbell to make sure you're not home. Alarm systems tell you after someone breaks in, but Ring Video Doorbell can prevent a burglary before it happens. Ring lets you see and speak with whoever's at your home from anywhere using your smartphone. With Ring, you're always home. Ring takes just 5 minutes to install, and for under $200, it's the easiest, most cost-effective way to protect and monitor your home. Go to ring.com/WSJ for free expedited FedEx shipping. That's Ring. ring.com/WSJ.
Is the next bit Robin Next Level Cloud Storage? A review coming up.
Stay plugged in and cut through the static. This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing from the newsroom in New York. I'm Tanya Bustos. Did you have to delete about 20 pictures just to listen to this podcast? You're probably not alone. There never seems to be quite enough storage space on our smartphones. Enter the Next Bit Robin from Android, which essentially promises you'll never run out of storage again. Tech reviewer for the Wall Street Journal, Nathan Olivares-Giles, joins us now to discuss this innovative cloud technology that could be the solution to a lot of our storage problems. He is based in San Francisco and joins the podcast now. Welcome, Nathan.
Hey, thanks.
So the Robin seems very unique from the smartphones that we're used to. Let's start with the physical aspect. As far as the look, feel, and design, how is it physically distinguishable from the others like Apple, Samsung, and the like?
Well, it really looks like no other smartphone you've ever seen. A lot of companies like Samsung, Apple, LG, Sony, Huawei are all using a mixture of metal and glass to make smartphones that all pretty much kind of look like the same thing. The Robin is really fresh. It uses a very square, rectangular design, and it uses bright colors. The review unit I had was actually a mint green and white, and it's made of a matte plastic, so it's not shiny. It's not too ostentatious, and it really kind of embraces being a rectangle in a way that no other smartphone that I've seen out there right now does.
And physically, like the grip of it, you know, with our iPhones, a lot of people complain about how it's getting bigger and it's hard to hold and handle. How does the whole feel of it distinguish itself from other phones?
Yeah, it's really great. It's super light. It's very thin. It has a 5.2-inch 1080p display. But despite that large display, it's easy to hold on to because that matte plastic is really kind of grippy. It doesn't have that almost slipperiness that the glassiness of Samsung's phones or the aluminum of the iPhone has. It doesn't feel like it's going to fall out of your hand like, you know, the other guys.
Right, right. So in terms of price, what are we talking in terms of price, and what is it comparable to?
Yeah, there's actually one price for the phone. It's $399 unlocked, and it's just sold on Nextbit's website. You can't go to like an AT&T or T-Mobile store or something to buy it. And that's actually a really great price for an unlocked phone. You know, if you were to go get an iPhone or a Galaxy unlocked, it would cost $600 to $700. It's really comparable to Motorola's new Moto X, which is at $400, and the OnePlus 2, which starts just a little bit below that. Both of those phones are also sold unlocked and outside of carriers, and they're kind of this new, really great sweet spot for Android phones where you can get a really great device. You might not have the best display. You might not have the newest, you know, most cutting-edge processor, but you're going to have a really speedy, really solid-performing phone at a really great price point.
Okay. And so the operating system, the Android 6.0 Marshmallow, still the winner of the best operating system name, as far as I'm concerned. Even that seems rather notable, too. Talk to me about the operating system. Anything particularly noteworthy?
Yeah, they've made a few changes here. The first thing that anyone would notice is that it looks a little bit more like iOS, like an iPhone. Basically, all of the apps that you had are just laid out on a grid, and you can just kind of swipe across different home screens and see the apps you want. You can, you know, drag apps together and make little virtual folders. But the widgets that Android is largely known for, those are hidden behind the little gesture where you pinch across the screen to bring those sorts of things up. There's still Google Now on Tap, which is this trick where you hold down the home button and Android will kind of scan whatever is on your display at the time and then give you maybe predictive search results or suggestions on what apps you might want to check out from there. So that's really clever and cool. But the biggest software trick is the way that they handle storage. Mm-hmm. The phone has 32 gigabytes of storage locally, which is a decent amount. But for anyone who shoots a lot of photos or downloads a lot of music or downloads a ton of apps and games, you can fill up 32 gigabytes pretty quick.
Sure, yeah.
So what this phone does is it knows what apps and what photos you've looked at recently and stuff you haven't looked at in, say, 2, 3, 6 months. And the things that you haven't looked at, the things that you've neglected, those will be shuffled over to 100 gigabytes worth of cloud storage that the company provides for free. So that unloved stuff will just kind of disappear. It'll still remain on your phone. We'll just have a little grayed out icon. And if you ever want to go back, you just tap on that icon and it stores the login credentials on your device so you can just pick up where you left off. But essentially, this keeps you from ever having to worry about, you know, filling up your phone and running out of space.
Yeah, and that's a huge issue for a lot of us. Storage space is the bane of many of our existences. You mentioned specifically pictures and photos. Let's move on to the camera, because that obviously is a huge element of any phone. What did you think about the camera and how it measures up?
You know, the camera was actually the singular letdown for me, and it was a really, really major letdown. It's actually a deal breaker for me personally. I shoot a ton of photos and video on my phone. It's what I fill up my phone with the most. Mm-hmm. And I love the cloud storage idea, but the camera isn't that great. Basically, a lot of low-light shots were noisy. It didn't really capture motion very well, so there was a lot of blurry shots. The camera app itself was slow, so I wasn't able to get those timely pictures that I wanted. And then even the gallery app where you view your photos was really wonky and sometimes would freeze on me or not even display certain images that I wanted to see. So I had ended up having to use another app, Google Photos, to see the shots that I took most recently. I spoke with Nextbit, the company behind the Robin, about this, and they said they're working on some software fixes, but they did admit that, you know, some of the stuff is just simply the hardware. You know, it's not exactly the most robust camera. It's a 13-megapixel camera, and it's good. It's just not great. It's decent. But the fact of the matter is there's a ton of phones out there with really great cameras these days, from Samsung, from OnePlus, from LG, and lots of others. So there's kind of almost no excuse for it. And I love the cloud storage trick, but when that's the most important thing to me, the camera, it just makes it a no-go.
So ultimately, it's what's more important to you, a great camera or storage? And it's something I guess you have to kind of weigh out. It's just up to someone's preference, I guess.
It really just comes down to your preference. I mean, if you're just always stressing about storage and the camera isn't that important to you, you're okay with decent photos, then this is a great bargain and a really good phone. Mm-hmm. Personally, I'm a big smartphone photographer, so I'm really looking forward to seeing what next phone looks like and hoping that it has a better camera. But until then, it's not going to win that space in my pocket.
Gotcha. Nathan, thanks as always for the time.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
For the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing from the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.